Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 139, Lessons from Yoda. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me we have the Luke Skywalker to my Obi-Wan Kenobi. We have Carl LeClaire.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, Carl.
How you doing?
Good.
I just found you in a desert.
Yes. Yes, you did. And we are both students of Master Yoda. So.
Oh, very true.
Yes.
Very true. I'm the better student.
Ultimately,
the more,
yes.
The more
but I'm the older, wiser, less impetuous student. At least at this time in my life.
They're my friends. I have to help them. I don't know the message.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
I'm blanking on his line there after that.
Me too.
I'm just going back to episode one or four and going, that's not in episode. Anyways.
That, yeah.
Anyway, we're rambling again already.
Well, that's how we're supposed to start a show.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
Good. Then we did it right.
Correct.
Okay, good. Hi, folks.
But so today's episode, tonight's episode, this afternoon's episode, the early dawn's episode.
Please delete as appropriate.
Thank you, Riley.
Yes.
But we are going to be talking about some of the lessons that Yoda provides in the Star Wars movies. Although I just thought, wow, we probably could have done Clone Wars too. I didn't use anything. Did you?
No, I was limiting myself because
okay, yeah.
He's like a guru of lessons and knowledge.
He is. I don't know why. I immediately think of the film. So basically my entire segment is going to be Empire Strikes Back heavy.
I'm shocked.
But, we're going to talk about some of the lessons that Yoda has provided in Star Wars and kind of just focus on the ones that have meant the most to each of us individually. So, again, we're going to kind of rank them in an order for ourselves, but there's really no ranking. And, you know, the thing about Yoda is everybody loves Yoda. Everybody has been able to take something that Yoda says and take it to heart. And I think when Empire came out in 1980, you know, it really spoke to the culture and it really spoke to people, gave a sense of spirituality to a culture that really doesn't have one. I think that was a lot of people feel like they've learned more from Star Wars than they have from religions. And, hey, that's your prerogative. So, Yoda definitely provides a lot. So we're going to hit on some of that stuff in the episode today.
Yeah. But before we jump into that real quick, just a little behind the scenes here. We're recording this rather shortly after recording our last episode because I will be out of the state and away from my recording equipment next week. So we are saving our matchup until our next episode, episode 140, and we will give you that at the end of the show. So stick around for that. But yes, I will be going to Seattle, a.k.a. Camino, and
a.k.a. enemy country if you're a 49er fan.
I forget that that's who you loathe.
No, I actually have no problem with them at all. So, but
you're supposed to loathe.
Yes, I'm supposed to loathe. So, but Jason's going there to audition for episode 8 as Darth Plagueis. So,
Darth Plagueis the Wise. That's Sidious, though. Anyways.
Actually, Jason's going to be in the next anthology film. Follow up from actually a rep from Disney called us and said, you know, we really liked your Palpatine standalone idea. We're going to run with that, and we'd like to cast Jason Hunt And I was like, listen, I'm not his agent. And they're like, you're not? And I was like, I am his agent.
Yes, yes. So, if only that were true.
I know. I know. They should cast you as a young Palpatine.
I'd love that.
I know.
I'd shave my beard for that.
Oh, you could, you know, they could say, you know, you could be like young Palpatine learning about the Force, be like, the Force?
The Force?
That was very
Obi-Wan. That was full Obi-Wan.
Yeah, that was very Al Guinness.
The Force? Well, the Force is what gives our Jedi his power. It's an energy field created by all the big things. It penetrates us, surrounds us, and binds the galaxy together. Anyway. All right. Enough about Obi-Wan and Sidious. We're talking Yoda here.
Yes.
Yoda's teachings.
And he has quite a few of them.
Yes. And you have a few more than I do.
I know. Sorry.
So we'll let you go first.
I appreciate it. But, you know, I had to give a quick shout out to a line that actually – I really like it because I think it actually connects a little bit to episode one. And this is from Empire Strikes Back. Pretty much all of mine are from Empire Strikes Back. Let me look real quick, except for one. My first one comes from Empire Strikes Back, and it's right after Yoda has revealed himself to Luke. Luke realizes this is now Yoda. And then Yoda says to him, you know, he kind of chastises Luke, and he says, never his mind on where he was, what he was doing.
Never his mind on where he was, what he was doing. He keeps jabbing it with his stick.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that because essentially what Yoda's saying to him is you've never really been present to the moment. You're a dreamer. Your heads have been in the clouds. And that can be dangerous if you want to become a Jedi. And I just think it's worth mentioning because that reminds me so much of Qui-Gon's first teaching to Obi-Wan and the Phantom Menace, you know.
Yep.
You know, I don't sense anything. Keep your concentration here and now where it belongs.
Master Yoda said I should be mindful of the future.
But not at the expense of the moment. Be present to the living force, my young Padawan.
Yes, Master.
But and I think that's worth mentioning because obviously Qui-Gon becomes Yoda's master between episodes 3 and 5. So yep. I think that's an interesting little take. I mean, granted, that could be Yoda's own little piece of wisdom, but I just thought it would be kind of cool to mention because you can definitely see a Qui-Gon Jinn influence to that very initial teaching or lesson of basically, you know, if you're going to do this, if you're going to train to be a Jedi, you better make sure you're focused and you're determined. A Jedi must have the most serious commitment. Or
the most
serious mind.
Yeah, serious mind, but what's the commitment? It's the most... I'm blanking.
Deepest,
I can't think.
I think
of
it's
it.
Deepest commitment.
Yes. Must have the deepest commitment. The most serious mind.
This yes. one, a long time have I watched. All his life has he looked away. To the future, yeah. To the horizon, yeah. That's Yoda as Nickelback. I think that's a neat lesson that, you know, Yoda is kind of chastising Luke right before the get-go because Luke is, you know, he shows up, he's super impatient, all he wants to do is go find this Yoda character so he can start his training, he can avenge his father, blah, blah, blah. You know, his mind is already on fast forward and Yoda's basically saying, no, you need to relax and you need to focus in order to do this. So I think that's a nice little lesson of just reminding us to stay present to what we're doing.
Yeah. It's a future, not at the expense of what you're doing now to get you to that future. Mm-hmm. Which is something I think, now that I'm thinking about it, this should have been on my list because I am a bit of a daydreamer at times. So I feel like Yoda would be saying the same thing to me at times. So, but yeah, no, that's a good one. Glad you picked that one out. So.
Why, thank you.
All right. Well, the first one I'm going to mention is actually from The Phantom Menace.
Okay.
And it is one of the things that, you know, Yoda tends to, you know, most people, when they think of Yoda and The Phantom Menace, go immediately to this. That is fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
Is that the one?
Yes, that's the one. And now, Larians, it's up to you to figure out which was me and which was Carl's audio clip.
No, that was me too.
Okay.
I'm real good.
All right. I like this one because it really does show it's very true, you know, not only in the context of Jedi teachings, but it's very true just in normal life. What happens is when there's uncertainty or anything, whether it's, you know, in a very small scale thing like a relationship, or whether it's on a large scale thing like, you know, nations, you know, what happens is fear creeps in, and it's like, well, I don't know. This is, you worry about something happens, and then that fear leads to people getting angry with each other, and then anger leads to, you know, hatred, and it starts to boil over, which just causes suffering of those that aren't directly involved. Whether it's in very small scale, like a person-to-person relationship, or on a large scale where it involves nations, or in the, you know, realm of the galaxy far, far away, entire galaxies. And that's just something that is nice to have in the back of my mind, you know, when things start getting stressful or something between me and somebody else, or if I'm looking online at news articles and people saying dumb things on comments or on Facebook or things like that, and it's like, okay. And I start to get angry. Okay, let's back up. Let's reevaluate where I'm at, why I'm getting angry here. And, you know, it sort of helps me to go, okay, let's cool this thing down and let's find out what really is the source of all this. And I tend to not respond to a lot of things because it ends up ultimately not being worth it. But it's always nice to have this sort of, you know, catchy, if Yoda can be called reminder. That helps me, you know, think of these things to sort of stop, reevaluate, and, you know, is this actually worth getting angry over? And what is making me get angry about this thing? And is there anything I can do to change that? So that's something that that stuck with me and something that I like to think about from time to time. So it also fits with, you know, my own personal religious views too. So that's always nice when Star Wars crosses over with that other very important part of my life. So,
I'm glad you brought that up.
And I think a lot of the things that that Yoda says do, for me at least, you know, crossovers in some regard with my own personal religious convictions. So, as Mark Hamill has said, it's religion's greatest hits. So you can find a kernel of truth for you in just about anything Yoda says, no matter what religion you're from. So,
yep.
But anyways, you were going to say?
Yeah, well, I was just going to follow up because that was my next one that I was going to mention too. This is my only non-Empire Strikes Back Yoda quote. And kind of a lot of the same things you said, Jason. You know, Yoda is focusing on, you know, the spiral effect of fear and how fear feeds into so much more. And, you know, especially in the context of when we get this of the film, right? Like they're testing Anakin and, you know, Ki-Adi Mundi, you know, just says, you know, your thoughts dwell on your mother. I miss her.
Afraid to lose her, are you?
What has that got to do with anything? I wish I was an older actor so this movie would be more compelling. sorry, that's Carl's opinion. But a really good one.
if he says so himself.
They're addressing Anakin's fear of losing his mother. And obviously, it's Anakin's fear that's going to eventually lead to his downfall, you know, and later on in his life. And it's because, again, it's Yoda is pointing out the reality of what fear does. Is fear just opens you up to, once you're afraid of losing something, you get angry about it, you cling to it, you get hated, you hate for it. It's very poisonous. It's like venom. And once fear has entered your bloodstream, it can have a very spiraling effect. And like you said, Jason, you know, it's especially true in relationships. That's what we see exactly what happens with Anakin. As soon as he becomes afraid about his mother, then he's afraid about Padme. And because of that, all those other things happen as a result. And we have that same, you know, that same reality that can affect us in our own relationships. You know, when we're afraid of losing somebody that we really care about, a lot of times we inevitably push them away, not on purpose, but that fear kind of, you know, it works itself out in a very bad way. We become clingy and obsessive and angry about every little thing. And like you said, even on a more global scale, fear of what we don't understand as a society often leads to a lot of suffering.
And history is full of examples of countries that got afraid of another one and, you know, bad things ended up happening. Let's look at World War One and Two, for instance, you know, from a more historical perspective. So,
right. But, yeah, so you know, I think that's a really great, you know, it's one of the most popular lines of Yoda in the prequels, in Star Wars in general, I would say, because I think it is. It just hits home. It's nothing original per se, but it's very well thought. You know, it's just a very well thought out structure to it. You know, like, well, your fear is going to lead to your anger, and then that anger leads to hate, and that hate leads to suffering, and that's exactly true. You know, we see that all across the world, and it's a sad reality that Yoda understands.
Yes. Yes.
So.
Awesome.
I'm glad we were on the same page with that one, my friend.
Yes, and I suspect that some of our other ones will end up crossing over as well.
Probably.
Now, my next one, though, I'm not so sure. It might, probably will, but that is... judge me by my size, do you? You know,
that's a
judge
good
me by my size, do you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, while this is in the specific context of the film, when that is saying, you know, it's Yoda telling Luke, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. Don't, you know, just because I'm small and old and, you know, don't look like a little, you know, frog, basically, like, you know, Kermit's decrepit uncle. Just because I look like that doesn't mean that I don't have the power or the ability to affect the type of change that you're looking for. It doesn't mean I don't have that access to the Force that, you know, makes me the Jedi Grand Master, basically. And obviously we see him then display that by lifting the X-Wing out of the swamp. But, you know, while that's also good to sort of, you know, apply to our lives, don't judge a book by its cover, you know, don't judge others by their size, so to speak. It's also one of those things where if you turn it around and apply it to you, it's also very helpful, at least in my instance. You know, it's even one person can make a difference, whether it's, you know, just on a small scale with people that you can touch or, you know, relate to, or whether it's, you know, something much bigger, like, say, you know, an Einstein or somebody like that. You know, one person can change a whole lot of things, whether for good or bad, but they can change things. And it's sort of a comfort at times. You know, that comment's a two-sided coin for me. So, that's one of the reasons why I decided to put it here for me. So,
yeah, that is a really good one, and I actually don't have it in there. I have something close to it. But yeah, I mean, that's, again, another real, real popular Yoda line, judge me by my size, do you? and like you said, Jason, all the things you were just saying, you know, it's that simple, don't judge a book by its cover. And I really like that, too, because it's similar to a common Bible theme. A lot of the great heroes and characters that we meet throughout the Bible are kind of like these unlikely people, you know, like poor peasants and shepherds and, you know, little, like King David is just like this little young shepherd boy, you know, becomes the greatest king. It's you know, kind of this reality that just because everybody else doesn't see you doesn't mean that you're not important. It doesn't mean that God doesn't see you, doesn't mean that, you know, the Force doesn't see you, doesn't mean that, you know, you are not seen because you're always visible to someone. And I like that about Yoda. You know, he's forcing Luke to rethink how he sees things, which is something I'll hit on a little bit later.
Yeah. I just want to follow up on a comment that you said, you know, you're always visible to someone. And that's something that I learned through my acting. You know, it was always one thing where I was always told, you know, make sure, even if you've only got one line in the scene and it's a long scene and you've already said it, don't check out. Mm-hmm. Because somebody is always watching you. And that's, you know, that's something to learn and to remember for your own life too, because whether or not you feel like anybody notices, somebody's watching you, you know. Somebody's sort of
like
going,
Santa.
Well, what's it? Santa. Sure.
The tooth fairy.
Somebody's always watching you, and you always have an impact on somebody. So, whether or not you know it at the time or don't. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, good one. Good one, Jason.
What's your next one?
I'm going to play video clips because I have the ability. Sorry. but it's this.
Okay.
How am I to know the good side from the bad?
You will know when you are calm, at peace, passive.
So I really like that, you know, that teaching point of, you know, Luke is inquiring, how am I going to know, you know, what's good and what's bad? And Yoda's teaching point is you will know when you're calm, you're at peace. You know, and I've always loved that because it's Yoda's teaching on discernment. How do we know what to choose? It's when we have this sense of calm and this sense of peace about us, that is kind of, that's when we know that's the decision to make. And I might have shared this story at some point on the show, but that was when I was studying a number of years ago now, but I was thinking about becoming a Jesuit priest. I was living with a group of Jesuits in Chicago for a summer, and one of the, like, the local guy for, like, the Boston area was out visiting to, like, kind of get to know me a little bit better to see if I wanted to apply at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember him being very pushy. And I was really annoyed by that. And I was really annoyed by him. And I was like, dude, like, this isn't a decision I'm going to make in a month. Like, I'll make it when the time's right. And I felt like he was super pushy. So I went to one of the Jesuits there that I had gotten to be friends with, who I really respected. And I told him that. I was like, look, I'm not saying I don't want to be a Jesuit, but I'm not ready right now. And he basically said, he goes, Carl, you'll know what to choose for yourself, because whatever choice you make will leave you feeling at peace. And he said, if choosing to be a Jesuit right now makes you anxious and it works you up, he goes, that's not a good choice to make. And as soon as he said that, I was just like, this is all I could think of. And I even said that to him. I was like, dude, you're like Yoda when he says, you know, like, and he just chuckled and goes, nerd. But you know, like, it's exactly that. It was just this reality of, like, you know, you and I both, Jason, are still at stages in life, and everybody in some way, shape, or form is always at stages in life where you have to make new decisions, where you have to make a new direction for yourself. Mm-hmm. And the course of action you should choose is the one that leaves you feeling at peace, the one that leaves you feeling calm. And I love that idea that Yoda presents to Luke. You know, you will know what decisions to make because of the way it makes you feel. And if it makes you feel at peace, you know that's the right choice to make. And I just, you know, I think that's a great lesson on discernment of what sort of things should we choose, be it like our actions or be it a state of life. Mm-hmm. You know, definitely the true with women, you know, or somebody you really care about. You know, when you really fall in love with somebody, you feel at peace with them. You feel at home, that calm. And mm-hmm. I can tell you, for after years of lots and lots of dating, I never felt that until you fall in love with somebody, and you fall in love with someone great. So that's how you know you're that feeling of peace. So
yeah. And now that's whether or not the decision that you make is, you know, a restful, tranquil, you know, mm-hmm. thing that ends up happening. It could be something that's completely hectic.
Oh yeah.
But in your spirit, in your core, in your gut, whatever you want to apply that to, you're at peace about the decision. This decision feels right, and it makes sense for you. That's the key.
Right. Good distinction, Jason. You're right. Because it doesn't always, you don't just like rest and you're like, oh, that's exactly it. Because it can be a very tumultuous decision, but underneath all that chaos, there mm-hmm. is a calm.
It's like with my sister. She graduated from nursing school, and everybody told her, you know, the easiest way to start learning to be a nurse and getting yourself into that whole system is to do med-surg, which is basically just like you help out on, you know, like with the pediatrics, and it's very simple, very easy. But my sister being who she is, would be really, really bored with that. And so she decided to apply for intensive care nurse because that's what she felt like she really wanted to do, where she felt like she'd have the most impact. And it is one of the most stressful and crazy nursing jobs in the hospital. And she's got all these stories about how nuts it is and that sort of thing. But it's where she felt at peace to do. You know, her work schedule is nuts. You know, right now she's on nights and she's dealing with people who are, you know, could die, you know, at a very, you know, depending on how their medication goes, how they respond to the medication, that sort of thing. So she's basically working to keep people alive so that they can go to the recovery areas. It's very stressful, but it's where she feels like she's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So that's what that reminds me of. So, and she's my sister, and I'm so proud of her, and I'll take any opportunity I can to brag on her. So I just did.
Oh, you're a nice brother.
I like to think so. Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
Okay. I always forget. Sometimes we get going and I forget who was the last person to actually
make the point.
Give a point. Yeah, make the point. Mine is going to actually come from Attack of the Clones. I know, shocker. Jason picked something from Attack of the Clones. But that's... it's almost an offhand comment, but Yoda says, "Truly wonderful the mind of a child is." And for me, this sticks out to me because not so much now, but I used to work a lot with kids. I did children's theater. I did children's church at my, you know, I volunteered in the children's church, a couple of different churches that I was a part of. And I've seen that firsthand. And I also know that sort of having, at least in moments, you know, thinking like a child, you know, having a, sort of a childlike approach to things is sometimes very eye-opening and it's very clear. You know, decisions aren't nearly as convoluted if you approach it like a kid, which is nice. And sometimes, especially when I was doing children's theater, it was one of those things where they're the most honest audience you will ever run across. if you're not entertaining them, they let you know. They start getting up and moving around and talking to each other or you. But it's also one of those things where sort of occasionally, you know, approaching things from the mind of a child and taking things that kids say and do to heart, is actually, you know, important, you know, because they sometimes they have very insightful things that they've noticed or because they're very observant. Kids are very observant. And I know as we get older, we try and go, oh, well, I'm no longer a kid. And, you know, life is so much more complicated. And at times, yes, it is. You have to pay bills and deal with that sort of thing. But I don't know. Just I always think that the importance of that sort of mindset shouldn't be forgotten. And so just because I've worked in that regard before, this line always sticks out to me. So that's why I picked it.
Yeah, I, you know, that doesn't surprise me because I know you've mentioned that line before in previous shows. And I know you really like it. I really like it too. Obviously, it's not on my list, but that is a great, you know, very subtle teaching point of Yoda's, you know, mm-hmm. And it is. It's kind of this reminder to kind of just the innocent creativity of the mind of a child. That's mm-hmm. the thing. You know, they don't have to be preoccupied with all these other things. They're not quite jaded yet. They haven't been through the ringer. They're able to just kind of see things far more imaginatively. There's so much more, you know, fertile potential with a child. And that's the thing. That's exactly what they needed right there, right? In that the moment of the film too, you know.
Right.
You know, Obi-Wan's like cracking the books, you know, he's talking to the master of the library, who's the meanest lady in the world. And you know, they're trying to figure all this out when it really took was just the mind of the simplicity of a mind of a child. And I don't say simplicity like they're stupid, but simplicity as in it's not clouded by all these other thoughts and anxieties.
Yeah.
That's what I love about it. P.S. I'm going to take a really quick side note just to say that, as Jason, as you know, there's a fly flying around my room right now, and Embo, my cat, just caught it. He just saw it. He is on a mission.
Nice.
He just responded to my bounty that I put out on that fly, Jason. Embo, the second greatest bounty hunter in the galaxy, is on it.
Nice.
Unfortunately,
I applaud. I applaud.
Sorry. Anyway, but yeah,
Well, I've been talking. Carl's been trying to catch this fly. You know, in a very quiet manner, so he doesn't disrupt the podcast. But now Embo's taking care of that for you.
Oh, he's gone. He went after it. Sorry. Yeah, he is. He's on a mission. He's adorable.
Excellent.
Anyway, good one, Jason. Though I do like that a lot.
Yeah.
And again, very, very true to something Jesus always used to say. You know. Something, the constant encouragement for people to be childlike in the sense of being open, being trusting, and being imaginative, really. You know, the ability, children tend to see themselves as having a lot to offer without necessarily being able to articulate that. But kids do. That's why kids imagine the way that they imagine, because they think they can do it. And I think, you know,
Yoda's, they haven't had enough life to tell them, no, you can't,
right,
or no, you shouldn't, you know.
Exactly. So, good one, Jason.
Thank you.
I'm going to play another quick little clip here.
Okay.
Oops. I forgot to turn the volume up. Hold on. There we go.
This is totally different.
No different. Only different in your mind. You must unlearn what you have learned.
I love that line. So you must unlearn what you have learned. You know, and again, I'm pretty sure I've probably mentioned this before on the show as well, but I like this. Yoda is encouraging Luke to let go of his old way of thinking, his old way of doing things, because it's inhibiting his growth. It's inhibiting him from his mission to become a Jedi. So again, I mean, you know, Luke is very much grounded in the human physical world right there, and just saying, you know, Master, okay, yeah, I could move some stones around, but this is a ship. This thing probably weighs like a couple tons.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think I am, Carl Leclerc and Arnold Schwarzenegger combined? you know, but Luke just sees this as impractical, as impossible. And Yoda's saying, you're clinging to the old way of thinking. You're not letting yourself be connected to what I'm trying to connect you to.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. It's this encouragement to sometimes let go of what we have internalized so much of, you know, and that's hard. That's not easy to do.
No.
And, you know, I think Yoda says it a couple times in Empire, probably twice, maybe three times even, where he says that to Luke, you know, you have to unlearn what you have learned. And again, it's just this, you know, sometimes we tend to limit ourselves because we think, oh yeah, there's just no way I could do that. You know, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not whatever enough. And we immediately limit ourselves. But sometimes it's like, no, you have to let go of those things. You have to let go of those things that inhibit you from growing. And that's exactly what Yoda is encouraging right there. So, I love that line. I love that teaching of letting go of old false beliefs that hold you back. It makes me, you know, again, it's similar to this really popular story in Buddhism where, you know, the Buddha teaches that, you know, you use a raft to cross the river, but once you've crossed the river, you don't pick the raft up and carry it with you over land because now it just becomes a burden. And in a sense, it's like you've used it for its purpose. Now let go and move on. You know, and, you know, Luke's way of believing things and the way the world worked up to a point, but now it's not going to serve him and who he's meant to become. So let go of that.
Right.
And I love that. Like, I love that challenge to really learn to let go of those things that inhibit us. So yeah, that was one of mine.
Cool. I don't have too much to say that, although it really makes a nice little through line discussion from our previous point that we mentioned. So sometimes unlearning what you've learned is those those things that have people have told you that you can or can't do, or you know, should or shouldn't do, and the things that you know make you jaded mm-hmm. and stuff as you go through life. So,
for sure,
awesome. All right, well, I've got one more. You've got,
I have two more, but they kind of flow together at least.
Okay,
so.
All right, well, I'll go ahead with mine, and then we'll finish up with your two.
Okay.
So, all right. And this is also from Empire. This is Luke saying, you know, I don't believe it. And Yoda's response is, that is why you fail. And this is something that sort of, you know, jumped to my mind, especially in response to how many times we've talked about it on this podcast. Because we've mentioned this a lot. We've talked about this a lot in regards to Yoda, in regards to Luke, in regards to the Force and that sort of thing. And it's something that's sort of worked its way into my brain. And anything that you're trying to do, trying to live out, trying to accomplish, whether, you know, it's a new job, a new career, or whether it's something, you know, your studies or your religious convictions or whatever it is, one of the keys to success, and I'm not going to sit here and you know, give a self-help book sort of answer or, you know, because there's too many of those and, you know, there's always these lists of five keys to successful living or whatever the heck. This isn't, you know, one of those, but one of the keys that could make whatever it is that you're trying to do successful is, you know, actually belief in it. Because if you believe in it, you'll work for it. If you go into this saying, well, let's see if this works, you know, you try, which I'm sure that's something that Carl will bring up in a minute, you know, do or do not, there is no try. If you sort of try something, you're not throwing yourself full, you know, wholeheartedly into it, and you don't quite believe it, you know, you don't have that conviction about it. And if you have a conviction about something, if you have a belief in something that this is what you're supposed to be doing, or this is how, you know, this is what you're trying to accomplish, if you have that belief, that conviction, that'll spur you on and that'll help you turn it into a reality. And that's one of those things that's sort of been bubbling around in the back of my head the more we talk about that line as our podcast has gone. So that's something that that quickly came to my mind when we were getting ready for this episode. So
that is a good one. And yeah, I love that part of the film, you know, where he proves to Luke what he's been trying to teach him all along. He mm-hmm. you know, he gives a concrete example of what his words have been all about. And, you know, and that's exactly it. Luke, he's telling him that he's failing because he just simply doesn't believe it. And kind of similar to what I was just saying, like, as you said, you know, Jason's kind of segue into this. Again, it goes back to this reality that Luke isn't able to let go of his old ways of things yet. And he just doesn't believe that this is possible, especially through himself. So that lack of belief in the Force and himself, and to some degree, I think it's mostly in himself, you know, if we look at the movie, because Luke has no problem, you know, believing in the Force and believing right. that it has power. You know, we see that on the Millennium Falcon when he's training with Obi-Wan in A New Hope. I think what he's really grappling with is just his ability to have such a control over it. His ability to use it through himself. I think he really struggles to believe that he has that ability.
To do the impossible.
Exactly.
With it.
Exactly.
So.
So anyway, actually my last couple here are not try or, you know, do or do not. There's no try.
Oh.
Yeah, I like that line, but it's not one of my favorites. And this is kind of a two parter, and it's the you know, where he says, a Jedi's strength flows from the Force. And he says that again in Return of the Jedi. So at least this way I can dip into Return of the Jedi a little too. But the first time he says it, right, like when he's on Luke's back, and it's one of the very first official teachings. He says, you know, yes, run. A Jedi's strength flows from the Force. And again, he's always reminding Luke what a Jedi is. A Jedi is, and ooh, actually, I'll even pull in a Clone Wars thing right here real quick. You know, Yoda says in, what's it called? The Gathering episode, which I think is in season 5.
Yes.
You know, where he says a Jedi is the Force made manifest. So, of course, a Jedi's strength flows from the Force. You know, a Jedi will be strong when they're well connected to the Force. That's where their strength must always come from. That's where their foundation is. So everything else is built up on that. Everything else Yoda is going to teach Luke is dependent upon that. You know, if you are really connected to the Force, Luke, you'll be able to believe that you can do all these things. You'll be able to raise that X-Wing. You'll be able to defeat the Emperor. But it all comes back to this rooted foundation of, your connection to the Force. Which leads to the greatest little Yoda dialogue. So I'm going to play this real quick. It's a minute long. I don't really care, though.
I can't. It's too big.
Size matters not.
This kind of grabs a whole bunch of things real quick.
You know my size, do you? And where you should not. For my ally is the Force. And a powerful ally it is. Life creates it. Makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us. Luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. You must feel the Force around you. Here, between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere. Yes, even between the land and the ship.
I think that is, to me, some of the greatest dialogue, teaching dialogue in all of Star Wars. And again, it's what I really want to key in on there is, he says, my ally is the Force. And, it's to me, that's him backing up what he said to Luke in the very first teaching, Jedi strength flows from the Force. That's Yoda's ally. That's why you shouldn't judge him by his size is because he's not just some diminutive little creature. He is someone rooted in the Force, connected to the flow of the Force, and he feels it all the time around him. And again, he's trying to reiterate that to Luke. You know, it's everywhere, and you can tap into that. You can feel it. It's this kind of relationship with it. Now, again, we could debate whether or not the Force is something personal or not. I don't know that we can. I think you can make a strong argument either way based on Star Wars. Doesn't matter,
right?
But there, it does require some level of relationship, whether it's a personal one or not. And Yoda's making it very clear to Luke that it's because of his relationship with the Force. It's his rootedness, his groundedness in the Force that he is so powerful and is so strong. It's because he always knows that he is rooted in that. I think that's just the foundational teaching of Yoda. Is that we have to be rooted in the life force and love and God, whatever it might be for you. But it's from that rootedness and let's just say love, because we all like that. but by being rooted in love, having that as your ally makes you a far more alive and good person than anything else.
To me, it's almost like, there's a foundation. There's a foundation that you should be, I'm not saying anything original here, but you have to have this foundation that you attach yourself to, whatever that is for you. For me, it's something outside of myself. For me, it's my religion, my Christianity, it's Jesus, that sort of thing. For you, it could be something completely different, and that's fine. But in my opinion, something that is, it has to be outside of yourself. Because we as individuals, we sort of float around. We go with the flow. We blow around on the whims of whatever is happening to us, our circumstances, and that sort of thing. And from my perspective, there has to be some sort of external something that you can, anchor yourself to, put down roots into, attach yourself to, a foundation that doesn't, shift underneath you. And in Star Wars, that is the Force. You know, for Yoda, for the Jedi and the Sith, although they use it differently. Well, maybe not the Sith, because they sort of see it as a tool rather than a life force. But for the Jedi and for Yoda in particular, this is what life... This is what makes life meaningful, having this attachment, having this relationship, having this foundation. That is what helps you experience life to the fullest and connect you to the will of the Force and connect you to life itself. That's what Yoda's saying there, at least in my interpretation of it. So,
yeah, I'll give you that. Absolutely, yeah.
I like this.
Yeah.
It's nice to have some of these, you know, deeper episodes every now and again.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and I think, you know, I was watching... Jeepers. Well, I watched Empire Strikes Back twice in like 24 hours. Right, like a couple weeks ago on my birthday, I watched it. Well, we did our audio commentary the night before my birthday, and then I got up and watched it the next morning on my birthday. And
I'm so surprised.
But it did. I mean, not that it was the first time this has ever happened, but I was like, wait, I have a Star Wars podcast. We should be talking about some of these great lines.
Yes.
And that's the thing. You know, there's so much we can pull out of what Yoda has to say to learn about life, you know? And I think it's especially important for people who don't necessarily, you know, have a religious background or religious belief for that matter. And that's, you know, that's fine. But I think even still what people are so taken with when it comes to a character like Yoda is the sense of spiritual wisdom that they have and that they're offering you something more out of life, that these lessons aren't just simply like how to do okay on your next test. It's like how to succeed and live a fruitful life, how to live out who you're called to be.
They're not just, you know, platitudes.
Exactly.
You know, there's a deeper meaning to those. Did you get it?
No.
Did you get the fly?
No, Nebo's just laying on the floor watching like a lazy little butt. Dude, you're not going to collect this bounty. He's just looking at it. He's like, whatever. You look like a fool. Anyway, Jason, these were some great points for Yoda.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
I agree.
Yes, I was just thinking about that.
I agree.
So, but again, we encourage you guys to, you know, feel free to write in or put on our wall, you know, comment, you know, when we post an episode, you know, and a lot of these episodes, you know, when we have like lists like this, you know, even with the last one where we had, you know, some anthology films we wanted to see. You know, we always encourage you guys to share your thoughts too afterwards, and very rarely does that happen. I don't know if that's because people just kind of think about them and then just don't want to share, or just whatever, for whatever reason. It just kind of hit me, like, you know, if you want to share your thoughts too, just put it in the comments under the post. You know when we share the episode on Facebook, just in the comments, kind of just jot down some of the things you really liked. And you know, it's nice to be able to share what you really like about Yoda as well. And I bet you a lot of you have some of the things that we mentioned tonight.
I'm sure there's others that we didn't mention.
Oh, I'm sure there's lots of others that we didn't. Yeah.
Because Yoda is sort of just like a fount of wisdom and knowledge and of this sort of nature. So.
Exactly.
So. Okay. But before we start wrapping this up, I do want to mention a couple things. First of all, you guys have been sending in some other, you know, thoughts and ideas and Larian inquiries and that sort of things over the past month or two since we did our last Larian-centric episode. And we're getting enough so that we do want to do another one of these episodes. We haven't been doing a regular Larian inquiry. Sometimes it just doesn't work with the topic, or we're going, or we have a limited time that we're recording in. So soon in the next couple episodes, probably we will be getting to another one of those. So keep sending those in. If you have something that you want our opinion on, go ahead and send that in, and we'll get you all that information later. But I do want to announce a bit of a contest that we're going to set up here. Carl and I have been talking for a while about updating the intro for the podcast to something that's a little less creepy because it sounds like Sidious talking. And while that was fun for a while, we want to do something a little bit different, a little bit updated. We would like to keep the same music, but update the dialogue just a little bit. So I'm having a hell of a time trying to come up with new dialogue that actually flows together and works. And so we're going to turn that over to you. You, the Larian, you, the listener. So what we're going to do here is, this is episode 139. We want to have a new introduction by episode 150. So you've got plenty of time to figure this out. And we'll bring it up periodically on the upcoming shows. But if you have an idea, go ahead and jot it down and send it to us as your contest entry. Or if you want to, just sort of give us an idea of how it's going to sound. If you want to record it, you can do that too. But we want to try and get an idea of what we want to use for our next episode. And if we use yours verbatim, or if we pull from yours, the winner of the contest, which will be announced and revealed on our 150th episode, will get to come on the show and do an episode with us, topic of your choice. So, and we'll share this all over social media and that sort of thing in the coming episodes, and we'll remind you guys as that goes along. But we want to get you guys involved with this, since I'm having such a difficult time trying to figure out what sounds right and that says everything we want to say. So, I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah, I am too. It gives you guys a chance to do our job for us. It's going to be great.
That too.
Yeah.
But also, do want to remind you guys of our matchup from last episode, that being Obi-Wan Kenobi from The Phantom Menace versus Luke Skywalker from The Empire Strikes Back. So go ahead and start getting those responses in. We'll post that on social media and stuff while I'm out of town, so you guys can start responding to that. And Carl,
mm-hmm.
if they want to submit entries or respond to the matchup, where can they do that?
Well, on Facebook, facebook.com/wampaslayerpodcast. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/wampaslayer, or you can send us an email at wampaslayerpodcast@gmail.com. And also be sure to check out all the other great Star Wars podcasts as part of the 2nd Airborne Division on StarWarsReport.com.
Yes. And stick around after the credits. We're going to be playing the next episode of the Star Wars radio drama.
Yes, we have episode 11, The Jedi Nexus. And there's 2 episodes left after this. There's 13 episodes in the New Hope radio drama. I think there's eight or nine in Empire, and then there's only like 6 for Jedi. So,
right.
Yeah, New Hope, they got really into it. So, and then it fizzled.
Which we like.
Yeah, so. A New Hope was great. So, I think it's the best of the 3 radio dramas anyway. So, yeah. But anyway, yeah, let us know.
All right. Anything else before we wrap up this episode, Carl?
You know, Jason, I really don't think there is. Do you have anything else?
No, not really.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. This wraps up our latest episode of the Wampus Lair podcast. This has been episode number 139, Lessons from Yoda. For Carl, I'm Jason, and until next time, we will see you here in the Wampus Lair.
For my ally is the Force, and a powerful ally it is.
Star Wars, based on characters and situations created by George Lucas. Episode 11, The Jedi Nexus. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there came a time of revolution when rebels united to challenge a tyrannical empire. Now, many strands in the web of galactic events have come together on board the Empire's ultimate weapon, an enormous space-going fortress called the Death Star. At large in its vast interior, pursued by Imperial stormtroopers, are a strange assortment of rebels. Luke Skywalker and his droids R2-D2 and C-3PO, the Princess Leia Organa, and the veteran Jedi Knight Ben Kenobi. Allied with them by necessity are Captain Han Solo of the Millennium Falcon and his co-pilot Chewbacca, a pair of reckless smugglers. And arrayed against these seven are the powers of a determined and merciless empire and its most feared agent, Darth Vader.
I assure you, Governor Tarkin, he is here.
Obi-Wan Kenobi? What makes you think so, Vader?
I sensed his aura clinging to that starship we captured. A tremor in the Force. Last time I felt it was in the presence of my old master.
If there is anyone on that starship, the scanning crew will detect them. But surely Kenobi must be dead by now.
Do not underestimate the power of the Force. Obi-Wan Kenobi is a Jedi Knight. He is capable of things that would seem impossible to ordinary men. Men who understand only their machines and the things they can see and touch.
Men like me, is this what you're implying? I tell you, Vader, the Jedi are extinct. Their fire has gone out of the universe, as you should well know, having brought that about. You, my friend, are all that's left of their religion.
I think not.
Well, enough of this. I had thought the Princess Leia might still be of use to us in locating the rebel base, but since the ship we captured appears to be empty, I have cancelled her reprieve. I intend to have her executed at... Well, what is it?
Governor Tarkin, we have an alert in detention block AA-23. It seems the princess has escaped somehow. We're not quite sure yet how
the
it
princess.
Happened.
Princess, put all sections on alert. Locate her and any other rebels at once.
Yes, sir.
Obi-Wan Kenobi is here. The Force is with him.
If you're right, he will not be allowed to escape.
Escape may not be his plan, but the other rebels can be of use to us in the manner we discussed. I suggest you make the necessary arrangements at once.
And General Kenobi?
Patterns are emerging that have great meaning for the Jedi. This nexus of events is brought about by the Force itself. I must face Obi-Wan Kenobi. Alone.
Crew has been shot. The other's been knocked cold. A couple of you get them down to sick bay.
That's straight through to the security commander.
What's your situation there?
Sir, we're in the command office overlooking the captured starship. The scanning crewmen on the ship were knocked unconscious and the guards have been shot.
Any sign of the rebels?
None, sir.
Check the place out thoroughly, then search the entire area.
Yes, sir. All right, let's check this place over top to bottom.
There's a storage locker over here.
Okay, stand back. Get ready to fire. Now open it.
What did you? They're mad. They've broken and attacked the duty crew and locked us in there. They're heading for the prison level. If you hurry, you might still catch them.
You, stay on the console and report that. Will do. The rest of you, follow me.
Oh, come along, Arthur, quickly.
Hey, where are you two going?
Oh, yes, that's it. All this excitement has overrun the circuits of my counterpart here. If you don't mind, sir, I'd like to take him down to maintenance.
Yeah, all right.
What? Oh, the handheld comm link. Got it.
What's that, droid?
Oh, nothing, sir, nothing. Come along, R2. Master Luke and the others don't seem to have arrived here at the docking bay yet. Something must have happened to them. Wait, is there another computer outlet around here somewhere? Plug yourself into the network and see if they've been captured. The comlink! Oh, I'd forgotten I turned it off.
3PO, where
are you there, Master Luke?
3PO!
Oh, yes, sir! No, we've had some problems. I can't begin to...
We're stuck in a garbage compactor. It's closing in on us. Oh. Shut down all the trash smashers on the detention level. Do you copy?
Oh, yes,
shut down all the garbage smashers on the detention level.
Yes.
We're going to be crushed!
No, 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 Arthur, shut them all down. Oh, hurry! Oh, they're dying down there. Curse this metal body! I wasn't fast enough to hold my fall! My poor master! Oh. What?
We're saved! 3PO, we're alright! It stopped! We're fine!
Oh,
you did great!
Oh, they're alive, R2! Oh.
Now, you'll have to get us out of here! Open the pressure maintenance hatch on unit number... Where are we?
326-827.
Did you get that?
326-827. Did you get it, R2? Yes, sir.
That's it. Now wait near the ship. We'll meet you there.
Yes, sir. Come along, R2.
I figured for a while there we were all going to be a whole lot thinner. I never thought those droids would pull it off.
And you said you hated machinery that talked back.
No more. Okay, here, dump your armor over there, but hang on to your belt. It's got survival gear on it.
Right.
Now we can get out of here. If we can just avoid any more female advice. Come on, Chewie, let's get...
Listen, I don't know who you are or where you came from, but from now on you do as I tell you. Understand?
Now look, your worshipfulness. Let's get one thing straight. I take orders from one person, me.
It's a wonder you're still alive. Now, will somebody get this big walking carpet out of my way?
No reward is worth this. After you, Your Highness. The Falcon down there. Oh, me too, Chewie.
3PO, do you copy? Are you safe?
For the moment, Master Luke. R2 and I are directly across the hangar from the ship.
We're on the level right above you. Stand by.
You mean to tell me that you flew here in that old wreck? You're braver than I thought.
Oh, nice, isn't she? Come on.
There they are!
Uh-oh. Stormtroopers. Let them have it, Chewie!
Hold back! Hold back!
Keep them running, Chewie!
You two, get for the ship!
Come on, come back!
Come on, Princess!
Whee! I'm going, Chewie! Keep on them! They're coming back! Let's get out of here! Up ahead! They're close to those blast doors! Move it! Gotta make those doors before they close! Come on, Chewie! Hold it! Hold it! We gotta shoot the lock! Whichever of those geniuses back there thought of having the blast tours shot ain't getting a promotion for it! Listen, I think we can work our way around to the ship. That squeak was too close for me. If we get back to her, I say we make a break right away, whether the rest of them are there or not. Come on, we don't owe nobody nothing. Nobody but us, that is. Did they care about us when they dragged us into this crazy deal? So why should we stick around and maybe get burned down for them? One chance to get out of here with our skins, maybe all we get, Chewie. Come on, fur face, you're gonna ruin our reputations. All right, let's get back first and see what happens from there. But whatever those rebels offer us for getting that princess back, I want at least twice as much.
Stormtroopers still out in the corridor?
I'll take another look. Oh, yeah. Still there, but they're not headed this way. I think they're guarding that junction down there.
They're between us and the ship. We'll have to find a way around them.
Well, we're safe enough in this utility compartment for now. If we just wait a minute or two, the troopers might be ordered away to chase Han and Chewie. If not, we can always duck out and try another route.
I suppose you're right. Oh. Luke, how'd you get involved in all this?
It's sort of complicated. See, R2,
wound up at our farm on Tatooine. I found your message when I was cleaning him up. R2 ran off to find Ben, and I followed him, but Ben found us instead. Then we hired Han to bring us to Alderaan.
And when you got here, Alderaan was gone. Destroyed.
You know about that.
I saw it happen.
I'm so sorry.
The important thing now is to see that it never happens again. Look.
Well, they're coming this way.
Are they gone?
I'll check. Yeah. Probably after Han and Chewbacca. And the corridor junction looks clear.
Then we better go. You remember the way?
I think so.
You there!
What?
Stand where you are!
Come on. Quick, run!
I think we took a wrong turn.
This must be the central core shaft.
There's no way across.
We can't go back. They're blocking our way.
Shut the hatchway, quick.
There's no lock.
I'll shoot the control panel. Stand back. That'll hold for a while.
But not for long. We've got to find the control that extends the bridgeway across the shaft.
Oh, I think I just blasted it.
They're trying to burn their way through the hatch.
Sounds like they're succeeding. Look, you better stand out to one side, Princess. Out of the line of fire. I'll try and hold them off.
Luke, no. There must be some other way.
None that I can see.
Look out!
What?
Up there, across the shaft, more troopers!
Just what we needed! Wait a minute, that's it! My belt!
Belt!
I took it off a stormtrooper! Look, it's got a grappling hook on it, we'll swing across the shaft! Here, take the blaster, keep him busy! Now let's just hope the hook's strong enough! There's enough line on the spool!
But where will you secure it?
Look, those outlet clusters up in the shaft! There! Here goes! God, we're in business! Grab hold of me tight!
Wait! A kiss for luck.
We'll need it. Hang on!
Oh.
We made it!
Oh. Now what?
Let me get rid of this line.
How do we get to the ship from here?
There's a service hatch down there to the left, I think. Let's go! Come on.
There's the ship. I take back everything I said about her.
Look, there's Han and Chewbacca.
What kept you? Me and Chewie were thinking of starting the party without you.
We ran into some old friends.
Is the ship all right? And where's Ben? And R2 and 3PO?
Now, the Falcon seems okay, and the droids are right over there. I haven't seen the old man, though. Let's just hope he puts that tractor beam out of commission and he's on his way back.
But that still leaves all those stormtroopers in the hangar to worry about.
Yeah, we've been trying to figure out an angle on that.
What about the hangar bay doors?
I'm counting on them still being on auto. They shoot open when the Falcon gets to it.
But the stormtroopers...
We won't get another chance like this. If nothing changes in the next few minutes, we're going to have to take them on.
What about Ben?
We can't do a job on everybody in the garrison, Luke. If he's not back by the time we go, tough luck.
I'm not going
anywhere... Luke, you do what you want. Me and Chewie are giving it a couple more minutes and then we're going to make a break for the ship.
I've been waiting for you, Obi-Wan Kenobi. We meet again at last. The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now, I am the master.
Only a master of evil, Darth.
Have you finished whatever petty errand it is that brings you here? The tractor beam, perhaps?
I have deactivated it, yes.
Little good that will do you, Obi-Wan. Ready?
Ready?
Your powers are weak, old man.
You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you stand your ground? Patterns of the Force have reached a nexus. You think you can retreat forever? You've learned fear in your old age.
A Jedi never forgets how to die.
Ben!
Why do you glance aside, Obi-Wan? Your young friends? You'll have to forget them. Your life is over.
That rests with the Force.
Ben!
Why do you salute, Obi-Wan?
Ben, defend yourself!
No! No! Run, Luke, run. What's this? His robes. Empty.
Luke, come on, kid, quick!
So, that was Obi-Wan's intent. A diversionary tactic. A full sacrifice. They made their escape, and now they think they've won.
By striking me down, you have made me more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Stood there, Leia. Just stood there and let himself be cut down.
Oh, Luke.
Why wouldn't he defend himself?
I can't explain it to you, Luke. The Jedi lead their lives according to what they believe the Force demands of them, and it's not always something the rest of us can understand.
But that still doesn't...
I know that Ben must have had some reason, some overriding purpose in allowing Darth Vader to take his life.
Vader? That was Vader who killed him?
Yes. He's the one who's been trying to recover the plans of the Death Star.
Vader killed my father. Vader betrayed the Jedi, and Vader's troops killed my aunt and uncle.
Luke, calm down.
Vader's taken away everything I ever had, and I ran from him. Don't you understand that? Vader took away everything I ever had.
Everything I had too, Luke.
Alderaan, your whole world destroyed. How can you live with that? How do you go on?
You find a purpose to justify the sacrifice.
Like Ben did.
Yes. Mine's to stop Vader and Tarkin and the Empire. I think that's worthwhile. What about you?
Yes. I do too. It's just, Ben seemed like he'd always be there, you know? Like he was the one thing that I could always count on. And I...
What, Luke?
I thought I heard him. After he was cut down, I thought I heard him. I was firing at the stormtroopers, and all of a sudden it was as if Ben were at my shoulder, like when he was teaching me to use the lightsaber. He wasn't in my line of vision, but he was there, talking to me.
We were all calling to you. You probably mistook
I that. Heard you and Han, but this was Ben. He said, "Run, Luke, run." And I did. I can't believe he's gone. I just can't believe it.
There was nothing you could have done.
Come on, buddy. We got work to do. We're not out of this yet.
What?
We'll be coming up on their sentry ships in a minute. We'll have to take them head on. I'd rather have live gunners in the turrets than trust computers.
What do you want me to do?
Well, Chewie's flying, and I'm taking the top gun turret. I want you to man the belly guns.
Oh, well...
Look, I love to chat all day, but we've got a date with those Imperial TIE fighters.
Sure.
As for you, your wonderfulness. Chewie could use a hand in the cockpit right about now.
I'll do what I can, Captain.
I'm sure you will, sweetheart. Well, come on! Chewie doesn't like to be kept waiting. Save us from princesses. Okay. You ever fire a quad gun now before?
Well, I...
Luke!
No.
Well, it's simple.
servos and targeting instrumentation is all standard. Don't rely on your computer alone. Eyeball it once in a while.
Whatever you say.
Just climb down the ladder into the belly turret and shoot anything that's not us. Clear enough for you?
Right.
Off you go. When you're in, put on your headset and we'll run you through a couple of test reverses.
I'm on my way.
Okay. You in, kid?
Yeah.
Okay, take the firing grips and get the feel. Make sure the tracking servos answer properly.
Feels okay.
Okay, gotcha. Targeting computer engaged?
Of course.
Good. Your sensors will give you an audio simulation for a rough idea of where those fighters are when they're not on your screen.
Right.
It'll sound like they're right there in the turret with you.
Got it.
We've got four TIE fighters closing back.
Check.
The fighters are breaking. They're almost on us.
Stay sharp, Luke.
Here they come.
Get up.
Missed.
One coming your way.
I see him.
Lead him, lead him.
They're all around us.
They're coming in too fast.
Well, they're not about to slow down for you. Pay attention to your audio and pick them up on their approach runs, Luke.
Han, we're coming your way.
I got it.
Get back and get the close battle control.
Don't worry, you'll hold together. Maybe you heard me. Hold together. That's one. Three to go. One coming at you, Luke.
Got him. Han, I got him.
Great, kid. Don't get cocky.
There's still some more out there.
What's under your guns, Luke? I have to pay for all these repairs.
I'm trying. Takes care of him. Han, one coming right at you.
I see him. Get him up on every floor, please, sweep.
You did it.
Nice work, Luke. Chewie, punch in the jump to light speed. We made it.
The Millennium Falcon speeds off with her disparate passengers and crew after victories and losses. But the Death Star dogs her track as a final confrontation takes form and patterns emerge from the Force. And freedom and peace are to live or die with the final contest of Death Star against Rebels. Star Wars, Episode 11, by Brian Daley. Based on characters and situations created by George Lucas. Featured in the cast were Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker, Anthony Daniels as C-3PO, Bernard Behrens as Ben Kenobi, Keen Curtis as Tarkin, Perry King as Han Solo, Brock Peters as Darth Vader, and Anne Sachs as Leia. The series was directed by John Madden, with sound mixing and post-production by Tom Vagley. Music by John Williams. Sound design for Lucasfilm by Ben Burt. Story editor for the series was Lindsay Smith. Casting and production coordination by Mel Saar. Executive producer was Richard Toskin. Executive producer for Lucasfilm was Carol Teitelman. Star Wars was presented by National Public Radio in association with KUSC-FM Los Angeles with the cooperation of Lucasfilm Limited.